Good evening. Glad you're able to be with us tonight. I'd like to ask you to find your place in Revelation chapter 22. We're going to be reading verses 6 through 21. As you're finding your place in Revelation 22, I would like to just give my appreciation to Pastor for the fine work he's been doing in providing video services for us in our homes. It's been a great blessing. He's done a tremendous job and deserves a great deal of credit. Please join with me in Revelation 22, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We're going to be looking at these last 15 verses in the book of Revelation because they are vitally important. Jesus Christ has sounded forth the great message of Revelation. I'd like to review with you for just a moment as Jesus receives the book of human destiny. I'm back in Revelation chapter 5. I'm back in Revelation chapter 5, and just review a few verses with you, and starting in verse 1. And I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And then in verse 6, John writes, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And now in chapter 6 in verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, you know that the book of Revelation contains the events that will happen during the end times, the tribulation period. And it reveals the destiny of mankind. And he reveals unto us all the things that are going to happen in the last years of human history. I think the as terrible as the coronavirus has been, I think it has taught us something very, very important. At least my thoughts have been directed by the pandemic as I contemplate on it. Just stop and think. In a matter of days, the entire world was changed. The entire world economy was shut down. And people were quarantined in their homes, stay at home and safe distancing and all of these things. The entire world was affected. It made me realize that, yes, one man could control the world. The Antichrist will have the ability to do that. Then, I don't know, as we're beginning to open our economy, you've probably heard the phrase contact tracing. What is that? Well, if you do a little research on contact tracing, I can tell you what they plan to do. This is a means of trying to track who has a virus and who's come in contact with people who have had the virus. The cell phone that you carry in your hand is going to send a little beacon, and it's going to broadcast to any other cell phones that are within a certain distance from your phone, and they're both going to record the contact in some form of digital identifier. They will keep track that these two phones have been in contact or within proximity of each other. And everywhere you go, every phone that you're within range from is going to record that information. Your phone will be constantly sending out beacons to trace where you are and with whom you may have contact. And then if any of these people that you've encountered test positive for this virus, the Department of Health or whoever is going to send that message back down the chain and notify every owner of a phone who had contact with that person. Is that possible? Apparently it is. And it's going to be put to practice here in just a matter of days. And your phone is going to keep track of all the places and all the people you come in contact with. You find that frightening? I do. But it lends credence to the things that we read in the book of Revelation. A lot of the things that people sometimes might say it seems too fantastic or just not possible, I think we have discovered that these things are very real and very possible as we see the end time approaching. Not only that, the book of Revelation has shown us astounding things that are going to happen. And they've caused us to stand in stark amazement at the glory and majesty of God and at his supreme intelligence and power. And perhaps the most startling thing is that the book of Revelation reveals God's ability and power to take all of the ungodliness and all the evil in the world and work it all out for good. He's able to control the end of all things. Now, the point is this. What God reveals in these verses right here are those things that are most important to him. And God wants you to know how to be prepared for the end times. Terrible times are going to come upon the earth, but he's given hope to man. I hope you find hope in these verses that we've read here this evening, because God is certainly giving us hope, because there is a better world coming. It's going to be a glorious world. It's going to be a perfect heaven and earth. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more suffering, no more tears, no more death, no more sin, no more temptation. All of those things will be gone, and we will enjoy a world of righteousness and joy and life. And God wants us to know the message of Revelation, and that's why he closes it with these very important messages. So as the Lord closes this great book, everything he has to say has to do with the message of the book itself. And the book of Revelation is so important that Jesus Christ takes time and space to talk about the message of Revelation itself. Please be assured, Jesus is comforting us. He's encouraging us. He's strengthening us. He's empowering us to live in his strength in these final days. It could be said that the words of this passage right here could be the most vital of all in Scripture. What does Jesus choose to emphasize as he closes this glorious book written to all mankind? Well, join me in Revelation 22, and let's look together at verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? But let me review just a moment. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, and identify who is in that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later we read, and the Word became flesh. The Word, of course, is identified as Jesus Christ, and we know that he is the living Word of God. Now we come to his message, his final message to us, and he says, these sayings are faithful and true. Does that sound familiar? Can we identify who that is? Certainly we can. In Revelation 19 and verse 11, as Jesus is returning for his second coming, John writes, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in verse 13, his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God and Faithful and True identify the same person, none other than Jesus Christ himself. And so these sayings are faithful and true. In other words, this message is faithful. You can trust it. You can depend upon its trustworthiness. It's reliable. This message is also true. It's not a lie. It's not a message created by the imagination of men. The verse says, these sayings are faithful and true, and Jesus Christ is the author of the message. The message of Revelation comes from the very same God that gave the Word of God to the prophets of old. The very same God who gave the prophets their message gives us the book of Revelation. And the Lord Jesus Christ has done exactly what this verse declares. Remember, it says, these things must shortly come to pass. Now, we either believe what Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation, or we do not believe what he has done. But the important thing is this, that we understand that it's our decision, whether we listen and believe or choose not to listen and not believe, is totally up to us. But failure to believe could doom one for eternity. Jesus preached in Mark chapter 13 and verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It doesn't make any difference what we think about the book of Revelation or about the very Word of God. It doesn't change. It will not change. His Word is established forever. Verse 7 tells us that there is a blessing to the person who studies and obeys the prophecy of this book. Verse 7, it says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You know, the message of Revelation will bring a blessing to the person who studies and obeys this blessed book. And the person who studies the book of Revelation is going to be blessed in a series of special ways. He's going to be drawn closer to the Lord, and he's going to be given a deeper awareness and a sense of the Lord's presence. He's going to know what's going to come to pass on the earth in the end time. He's going to be better prepared to cope with the situations on earth until the Lord comes. He's going to understand how God is going to deal with the ungodly and the evil of this world, and how he's going to conquer all of those things and bring righteousness upon the earth. He's going to understand heaven more and be more strongly stirred to long for heaven. As we read about the city itself in the book of Revelation, we long to be there and to see it ourselves. And finally, we're going to be drawn by the Spirit of God into a closer fellowship with the Lord himself as we prepare for our glorious day of redemption. There is a strong reason for studying and obeying the Word of God and the prophecies in the book of Revelation. It's this, behold, I come quickly. Jesus Christ is coming again. And the events are going to roll in upon one another and happen so quickly, we have to be ready, especially to the unsaved. They need to receive Christ as Savior before it's eternally too late, because events are going to start to unfold, and if they're not prepared, they'll be doomed forever. Then I'd like for you to notice in verses 8 and 9, Jesus' message in this passage right here should stir us to worship. That's what happened to John. John wrote in verse 8, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book. Worship God." You know, the study of Revelation should stir worship in our hearts, and it should draw us closer to the Lord. John had this very same thing happen twice. He fell down before the foot of the angel. He did it in Revelation 19 as well. And the angel implored him to get up and not worship me. I am just a fellow servant, a fellow laborer as you. And so he said, worship God. And so the message of Revelation should astound us and stir us to worship. But we need to make sure that we worship God and God alone. Listen to 1 Chronicles 16:29. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." This message is also to be read and studied by every person. Revelation 22 and verse 10. "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." John, don't seal this book. The time is at hand. We're in the end times. I firmly believe that. And he told John, don't seal this book. This book is not to be sealed. As I think back on the prophet Daniel, as he was concluding his book of prophecy under divine inspiration, the Lord commanded him to seal his book, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." It was too early. God had given Daniel the visions of the future and of the end times, but it could not be understood because the rest of the scripture had not been revealed to us yet. And now when we come to this book, John is commanded that the book of Revelation is never to be sealed. It is never to be closed. In fact, it's to be read and studied and preached and taught always. And there are two reasons. One, the time for the events to fall upon the earth are at hand. They are here. And secondly, time is going to run out when it'll be too late to prepare. Go back to verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." You know, there's going to become a time when it will be too late. Those that are unjust will be left unjust. And those that are filthy, they will remain filthy. I'm reminded of Esau in the Old Testament when he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 wrote in verse 17, "For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." And so the book of Revelation is to be read, and it's to be studied by everyone. And yes, there will be a time when it will be too late to read, to study, and to act upon the words of the book of Revelation. And then in verse 12 and 13, Jesus focuses on the fact that his return is imminent and judgment is coming. Notice in verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And once again, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." His return is speedily coming. It's imminent. And it's right at hand. Why does he urge us to prepare? because his coming back, when he comes back, it means judgment. He's coming back to judge man. His judgment will be based upon two things. Obviously, first of all, it's going to be judged. Man is going to be judged by his works, based upon what we have done. And secondly, it's going to be based upon the person of Jesus Christ. He's identified as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. That means he is both the creator and the finisher of the universe. He spans all time and all of the universe. He began all things, and he will finish all things. Therefore, he will finish the earth and the heavens above and judge them all. He will judge all who have acted against him. He will judge all who have lived ungodly lives. He will judge all who have lived contrary to godliness. Jesus preached in Matthew 16 and verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Paul told us as believers that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And finally, the dead. Who are the dead? The dead are those who have never received Christ as Savior. You see, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, John wrote, "And I saw the dead, small and great." These are those who are facing the second death. They will be in eternal punishment. And the Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Jesus also reveals who is going to be accepted. In verse 14, he says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Here we are at the end of the book of Revelation, at the very end of the revealed word of God, and we're told that those who keep his commandments may enter heaven. Is it a matter of keeping his commandments? Are we saved by works? No. Our pastor has made that very clear in the Wednesday night messages. Works are the fruit of our faith. And that's what Jesus is referring to right here. These that he's referring to right here are believers who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore they keep his commandments because they love Jesus and they want to keep his commandments. They believe that Jesus Christ forgives their sins through his death on the cross in order to be saved. Then it is that they begin to serve him and keep his commandments. And only these will have a right to the tree of life, and who may enter into the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city of God. Not only does Jesus tell us who's going to be accepted, but he also tells us who's going to be rejected. In verse 15, he says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." You know, we see this description of dogs in Scripture often. And what is this reference referring to, I suppose? Well, it's not your pet at home. It's not that kind of domesticated house pet. It's talking about a wild dog. And in ancient days, the wild dog was a symbol of roaming about, of being mean and savage and dirty and immoral. And Jesus said, "For without, those who are rejected are dogs, those who have lived a life of being mean and immoral." But go on, and we'll read the rest of the verse talking about sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. We've seen this list before, haven't we? In Revelation 21:8, John wrote these words, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Jesus tells us some will be rejected and never have access to heaven. Verse 16, Jesus proclaimed this message himself. In verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The churches are not an Old Testament phenomenon. They are a New Testament phenomenon. And Jesus expressly says, I, Jesus, testify unto you these things in the churches. He's writing to us as New Testament believers. And he says, I, Jesus, testify these things unto you. He's the author of Revelation. But he also identifies himself as the root and the offspring of David. That's another phrase that sometimes we read right through without stopping to dissect it and identify what he's saying. What does he mean when he says he is the root of David? He means he's the root of life. He's the one who gives life to man. Therefore, he is the one who gave life to David himself. But then he goes on to say, not only did I give David life, but I am the offspring of David. What a conundrum if you don't believe the word of God. Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, the promised Messiah, identified by his lineage as being the offspring of David. He's the promised Messiah who was to come from the seed and line of David. He's the promised Savior and King who was to come and save man and rule over the world, all from the throne of David. He is the root and the offspring of David. But he goes on to say he is the bright and morning star. This means two things. The first star to arise is always the brightest star, the brightest of all. Jesus Christ is therefore the brightest of all beings in all of the universe. He's the very Son of God. Second, this is a prophecy of the Messiah. You may remember from Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, there shall, I lost my page. All right. There shall come out of Jacob a star. Jesus is declaring that he's the promised Messiah, the star among all the stars of man. And so for these reasons, we know the author is Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who gives life and has a right to judge life. And he's the one who knows the future, and he can warn us and prepare us for the devastating events of the last time. He will tell us the truth, and he declares the message of Revelation to us. Verse 17 is the greatest invitation ever extended to man. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The bride is the church, the host of true believers scattered all over the earth. Both the church and the Spirit cry out, come. Once we hear the invitation and come, we too must begin to cry out for others to come and take of the water of life freely. Are we actively asking folks to come to every person that we meet? And finally, I'd like for you to notice a very stern warning. This message must not be tampered with. Verses 18 and 19, Jesus is writing, and he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Remember, I began by telling you that the things that Jesus emphasizes in these last 15 verses are important to him. And so he's guarding these words. Don't add to or take away from the prophecies of this book. And now verse 20, Jesus closes this great message with the greatest of all assurances. He says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Jesus Christ is the one who reveals and testifies the things written in the book of Revelation. He was the only man worthy to open the book of human destiny. And he is the one who is faithful and true. And so as he closes this passage of Scripture, he says, yes, it is true. I am coming soon. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, Jesus told the church at Philadelphia, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This is the unequivocal assurance of Jesus Christ himself that he is coming again, and his coming is soon, and we are to be ready. And so as we conclude this passage, John cries out with a great voice, I'm sure, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I hope your heart will cry out with John as well. Amen. So be it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. John, the apostle of love, closes this great book with this final salutation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I hope you understand that Jesus is emphasizing in these verses right here how much he loves every individual, how much he desires for every individual to be with him for all of eternity. But he tells us without a mixed message that some will be rejected because they refuse. Don't be among that number. Don't be one of those who say, I don't understand it, or I'll look at it later. Don't put it off, because Jesus said, I come quickly. And so come, Lord Jesus. I hope that can be your prayer as well. And I love the way that John closes this book. John, the apostle of love, closes this great book by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer ourselves. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the impassioned plea from Jesus Christ in the final closing passages of the book of Revelation, as you are burdened to share with us these vital truths regarding the end time. I believe we're entering into that right now. I believe we're seeing that the things of Revelation are indeed possible. And I believe that your coming is imminent very soon. And we look forward to your coming. And in fact, we join with John by crying out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Our prayer tonight is those who are not prepared will call upon Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and ask him to be their Savior before it's eternally too late. And to those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may they draw close upon the blessed hope, the promise of his coming, and his coming to take us to be where he is. We long for that day, and we look forward to being in your presence. We pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to hearts tonight. Use this feeble message for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.